Over here, Baruch Hashem, two people in the shir. We have Mr. Elman is here today, in person. You can see him behind me. And Rabbi Chol is here. Okay, anyone who wants to join, you're welcome to come to the shul. Okay, let's learn. Let's discuss some of the inyan, the halachas of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is coming upon us. Today is Vav Elul. Okay, Vav Elul. Already 6 days into Elul. Tonight is Zayin Elul. I don't know why, but there is a Kabbalah, there's a Hasidish thing, I don't know if it's still done today, that there are three Zions in the year that you're not supposed to get married. Is anyone going to a wedding tonight? I'm curious. Anyone here have a wedding tonight? Anyone in our audience participating in a wedding?
I have a wedding tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? So tomorrow night is still probably going to be Zion, or they're going to have the wedding after Shkia. Interesting.
Okay. It's called 6:30. So
that's before Shkia. That's the Kabbalah's part of the 6:30. When's the Chuppah going to be? So you ready? What time is Shkia? Shkia is already an hour later. It's probably going to be ready after Shkia, the wedding. Interesting, because there is a minute. I don't know where it comes from. It's Alpi Kabbalah that on Zion El, a person should not get married. I don't know if we still accept that. Also Zion Shavat and Zion Tammuz. Zion Thomas, my mother's yard.
7:37, I think, is Shkia tomorrow.
7:37. So therefore, it's not likely that the wedding is called for 6:30. It's not likely that the chuppah is going to take place before Shkia. Okay, but there are 3 days a year. I don't know, three Zions that there's a Kabbalah that it's not a good time to get married. Zion Elul, Zion Shvat, and Zion Thomas. Tonight is Zion. Okay, I don't know what it's about. I have no idea what it's all about, but there is such a tradition, and it could very well be that today we're not makbid on these things, just like today we're not makbid on a lot of things of Inyani Kabbalah. We're not on a level that we have any connection to these things, and therefore they have no effect on us. We're not makbid on these things at all. But it is something that is cited in sources. Elul, obvious Elul, is the Zman of doing Teshuvah. Elul is a very beautiful drush. I saw this in Rabbi Shor Sefer that noistim lebesula shneim osur chodesh. In ancient times, when a woman got married, the marriage was divided into two parts. First, there was erusin, where a chasen goes in front of witnesses and they make a bracha, no chuppah. You can imagine you go to a wedding, there is no chuppah. No canopy. The chasan stands. The chasan goes to the kala, and the chasan gives the kala. Takes out. First you make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen, and then the mesader kiddush makes the second bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav osar lanu es ha'arusos, v'hit lanu es hanusos lanu al yedei chupa v'kiddushin. Baruch atah Hashem. You make that bracha, and then the chasan and then the masader kedushin. He first takes a sip of the wine, he gives it to the chasan kala, and then the chasan gives the kala the tabas, and he says sahareyat mikudeshasli, and you say mazel tov, and that's the end. They're now osur to live with each other, and they're osur to date other men and women. They're fully married. Chosan cannot accept any shidduchim. And the kala cannot go on any dates with any other man. They're fully married. But they're not allowed to live with each other because they did not yet have a chuppah. He did not yet take her into his rishus with a blessing, with seven blessings. What happens now? So the Mishnah says, noistim lebisula. If this woman was never married before, we give her 12 months. 12 months to prepare to the home for when they will come again together in 12 months from now. Same place, same time, same station, but this time it's going to be a chuppah. And this time, he's not going to give her the ring because he already gave her the ring. He's going to take her into the chuppah. And they're going to recite seven blessings, and then they'll be permitted to live with each other. this is nesuin. So, but until that point in time, noistim libesula, we give a besula shneim osar chodesh. Every month has a mazel. Every month in the constellations has a mazel. The mazel of Elul is besula. So there's a drush. Noisnim lebesula shneim osar chodesh. We give the besula chodesh Elul. We give it 12 months. Whatever you do during this chodesh is how the next 12 months will play out. A person who takes chodesh Elul seriously and does teshuvah and does the slichos and he davens, says tehillim, listens, blows the shofar, he behaves himself. Noisnim lebesula shneim osra chodesh. We give the chodesh of Elul, the besula, we give her the future of what's going to be in the next 12 months. It's all in your hands. This is a very beautiful idea. I love this idea. It defines, it captures the essence of Chodesh Elul. Besides the famous Verloch, Ani Lidoidi Vidoidi Li. Okay, besides that, but this is a very beautiful drush. Now, Chodesh Elul, we have a minute. Let's start with some of the Minhagim of Chodesh Elul. Is, first of all, you're supposed to learn the halachos, the entire Elul, for the next month. As Chazal say, Shoyalim v'dorshim b'inyonos shel yoyim shloishim yoyim koydim achag. 30 days before the festival, you're supposed to involve yourself in learning the halachos. We all apply that very well when it comes to Pesach. Everyone knows that right after Purim, it's spring cleaning. Okay, right after Purim, it's 30 days before Pesach, you have to learn all of the halachos. It's the same thing for Rosh Hashanah. Shloishim yoim koidem achag. It's really a whole series, because once you hit Rosh Hashanah, there's no time for anything. Once you hit Rosh Hashanah, before you blink, it's Yom Kippur, and then you don't even have time to blink when it's already Sukkot. So now is the time to sharpen your skills in building a sukkah. Now is the time to learn all about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Chol HaMoed, Sukkot, Hashanah Rabbah, Simchas Torah. It's now in the tekufa of Shloishim Yoim Koidem HaChag. That's the importance of Chol. It's the ultimate Shloishim Yoim. Next Yisoid. The next Yisoid is that when you do Teshuvah during Chodesh Elul, says in all the Poskim, people make a very big mistake. They think they only have to do teshuva for the averos that they've done in the past 12 months. Right? Because if we survived last Rosh Hashanah, so all we need to do is teshuva for what's happened the last 12 months. That's a very big mistake. The avoda of doing teshuva during Chodesh Elul is for your entire life. Think back of the averos you did when you were in kindergarten. And when you were in pre-1A, and when you were in high school, and when you, before you got married, after you got married, the avoida of doing teshuva of Chodesh Elul is not limited to what took place in the last 12 months. The avoida of doing teshuva is an avoida for everything that has occurred in your entire life that needs repair, it needs repentance. Pshutoi kimashmoi. Okay, next minog. We have a minog to Sfardim. They begin to say Slichos. Rosh Chodesh El. Anyone here say Slichos? Anyone in our audience say Slichos now? Any Sfardim amongst us that say Slichos from the beginning of Chodesh El? Well, that's their minog. Sfardim do not blow shofar. You know that? I didn't know that. The Sfardim do not, well, it's not necessarily true. I take that back. It's not correct. But Sfardim, they say Slichos. Ashkenazim, they don't say Slichos. But what they do, instead of saying Slichos, is they, well, we fool ourselves into thinking that we blow Shofar. The truth, though, is that what we're supposed to do during Chodesh Elul is to wake up earlier. See, the only difference between the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim is, I'll give you a mashal. There's a kollel. I've seen this sign for years, for decades. There's a guy who hangs up a sign and says, kollel and Flatbush accepting new members, good pay on time. You ever see the sign? In a lot of shuls, there's the sign. Kollel and Flatbush looking for new, accepting new members, good pay on time. Mm-hmm. You know, he's referring to the morning kollel, by the way. Okay. Looking for new members, good pay on time. And then he writes there, they write, the limud kol mashal liboy chafetz. That's very, very rare, you should know. To find the kollel, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, you know, the only thing you do is learning. So, but any kollel you go to, it's almost unheard of. In Eretz Yisrael, in any kollel, if you join a kollel today, and they're paying you money, whatever they're paying, even they're paying you a small amount of money, they don't give money for free. You have to come learn. Okay, it's obviously very, you know, altruistic. You want to sponsor a kollel, kedusha, a makom Torah. But once we are already paying you money to come and learn in this location, there should be a chevra, learning Torah, shmira, whatever it is. You can't learn whatever you want. What do you think, it's a free-for-all? Once we're already paying you money to learn, you're going to learn what I, who gives you the check, wants you to learn. You know why? Because I want to say a shir. I want to say a shir, and I want you to be familiar with the subject matter. So therefore, you're going to learn what I want you to learn, so I can say a shir, and you'll listen to what I have to say. That's the way it goes all over the world. Go to a kollel, they learn, they're paying you money, it's very nice to learn, but you don't get to learn whatever you want. It's always like that. You have to learn what they decide you're going to learn. This particular call, this sign that I see hanging up in Flatbush, the sign I've seen lately, it says, kollel, Flatbush, looking for new people, good pay on time, loymade, kol ma sheliboy chafetz. You can learn whatever you want. That's the difference between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim in Chodesh Elul. Sfaradim have no choice but to get up a half an hour earlier, Chodesh Elul, to recite Slichos. If you're an Orthodox Jew, a Sfaradi, you don't have a choice. If you're getting up every day 7 o'clock to daven Shacharis, well, guess what? Shacharis during Elul is 6:30. Because you have to come say Slichos. Too bad. Get up earlier. You don't have a choice. You're an Orthodox Jew. You have to daven. You have to come to shul half an hour earlier. Ashkenazim, just press the snooze button. Keep on sleeping. Right? Because you don't got to get up. It doesn't take long. You don't know. I never ever in my life saw a sign anywhere that says that we're davening Shacharis earlier today because we have to blow shofar. And the blowing of the shofar takes time. How long does it take? Takes time. It takes about 10 seconds. Right? And what happens if the Baal Tekiah can't get the tekiah out? It can take 20 seconds. Maybe it can take a minute. So therefore, just in case we're changing the Zman for Tefillah, even though the whole year the Zman for Tefillah is at 7:30, during Elul, when we blow Shofar, the Zman for Tefillah is 7:15. We're going to give 15 minutes for Shofar. Did you ever in your life see such a thing? Mayor probably would do this in his shul. If Mayor had a shul, he would probably institute such a thing to give 15 minutes. You never saw such a thing to give more time for the blowing of the shofar. However, it says in all of the big books that during Elul, The only difference between Ashkenazim and Sfardim is...
If I sure the guys blow shofar all year round, the big mouths, you know? We have to shut them up for a week before Rosh Hashanah so we should know.
In all of the big Sfarim, it says that the only difference between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim is not getting up early. Just like the Sfardim get up early, instead of the Shachar is called for 7 o'clock, during El it's called for 6:30 because they have to say Slichos, they don't have a choice. They have to say Slichos. Guess what? Ashkenazim also have to change the Zman from 7 o'clock to 6:30. The only difference is by the Ashkenazim, no, you do during that extra half an hour, Kol Ma Sheliboy Chofetz. Whatever you want. You want to say Tehillim? Say Tehillim. You want to learn Musar? Learn Musar. You want to learn the Daf Yomi? Learn the Daf Yomi. You want to go listen to a Shir on Kabbalah? Doesn't matter. During Chodesh Elul, everybody has an obligation to wake up early. Earlier than you do the rest of the year. Kumi roini balaila l'roish ashmores shifchi kamayim libeich. Everyone is subject to this rule of arising early, preparing for the Yemei Adin during Elul. The only difference between Ashkenazim and Sfardim is, by the Sfardim, it says, we're paying you. You're going to do what we want. We're paying you for the Kollel. You're going to be learning Shnayim Eichazim Betalis. The Ashkenazim, the sign says, Loimeid Kol Mashalibay Chofetz. We're nice guys here. We're going to give you free money. Come and learn here. And you can learn whatever you want. That's the only difference. So Ashkenazim, we make a mistake by thinking that if we can just push the snooze button for another 3 weeks until the last week of Elul when we have to say Slichos, while our poor brethren, Nebuch, the Sfardim, these poor guys, they were just born into the wrong family. It's a Rachmanis on them. They got to get up a half an hour earlier during Chodesh Elul to say those Slichos. Sorry, buddy. Baruch Hashem, I'm not a Sephardi. It pays to be an Ashkenazi. Wrong. Big mistake. There's no difference. Ashkenazi, Sephardi, you gotta get up early. You gotta get up early to Mekayim the Pasuk of Kumi Roini Balaila Leroish Ash Moires Shifchi Kamayim Libeich. It's just, you could do whatever you want during that extra half an hour. You can learn Musar, Gemara, say Tehillim, maybe Daven Beret, say the Kurbanos, do whatever you're supposed to do, but it's not an excuse not to get up early just because you're not a Sfardi. Okay, next you said, we blow Shofar Chodesh Elul. Our minig, most of us, we stop blowing Shofar on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, right? We all know that. Why do we blow Shofar during Chodesh Elul? So there are many reasons. The most popular reason, and there are a lot of nafkaminas. Now, let me already tell you all the nafkaminas before I tell you the reason. Let's work backwards. Sometimes working backwards is more fun than going forwards. What would be all the different minhagim? I'll tell you a smorgasbord of minhagim regarding blowing the shofar. Massive, massive smorgasbord. When do most of us blow? Shachris. How about mincha and ma'arif? Anyone here davening in shul, they blow shofar at mincha? Anyone here? Okay, there's no question about it that there are very legitimate minhagim where they blow shofar mincha as well. And in some place they blow even ma'arif. Some places shachris and ma'arif. Some places they start blowing already shofar when? They start blowing the first day of Rosh Chodesh, which is really the 30th day of Chodesh Av. Why wait until the second day of Rosh Chodesh? If it's good enough to make a bracha, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzvanu l'kroyas ha'halel, why isn't it good enough to blow the shofar? Blow the shofar the first day of Rosh Chodesh. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? You have to wait until the second day of Rosh Chodesh to blow the shofar? When do you stop blowing Rosh shofar? So everyone knows that you don't blow shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah. Who says? I could show you sources, minhagim. We live today in America. We love America. It's a beautiful country. It's the ultimate melting pot of Judaism that ever was in the history of the world. America. Everything got summarized into one mimic, one size fits all. Okay, that's not the way it used to be. It used to be a little shtetlach. A shtetl could have 30 families. Today, think of a shul. A shul, how many families are core members of every shul in Flatbush? I challenge you to find me a shul that has more than 30 core members. And that's already a big number. Core members that will give their lives for the shul. You're going to find a shul in Flatbush has more than 30 families? I don't think so. You may find 100 people davening in the shul Shabbos morning. Most of them wouldn't give a penny to the shul. Most of them on their shidduch resumes wouldn't even mention that they daven in the shul. Okay, how many people identify with every single shul in Flatbush? 15 families? 30 is already a big number. In Europe, I mean in Poland, not really in Europe, Poland. In Poland, in the Ukraine, in Russia, you had shtetlach. Each shtetl was 30 families. It was a community. And every shtetl had their own minhagim. They had their own set of minhagim. They had a tradition. Some of them blew shofar mamish on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Forget about kedei la'arveh v'sasot. They blew shofar. Why not blow shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah also? We don't blow shofar in America in the melting on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But there are other minhagim that hold that if you're not going to blow shofar, you should stop blowing shofar 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. You ever hear that minhag? That used to be a very popular minhag, it seems. Not to blow shofar the last 3 days. Stopping 1 day is not enough. If you, whatever you're trying to accomplish by not blowing shofar the last day, kedei la'arvev has to confuse the satan, or maybe that you should not get too familiar. You want a little wake-up call? It should wake you up. You got to stop the train before the day before. You got to stop blowing shofar 3 days before.
Rabbi, maybe some of these minhagim were chosidia. They're not.
Almost everything I'm telling you is coming from the Nitti Gavriel. I'm telling you, and Nitti Gavriel there, he cites all the cities. He mamish gives you the list of cities. These are famous cities with chosidia rabbanim, popular cities. So these were the minhagim in America. It's the melting pot, one size fits all. We do everything the same. We start blowing the second day Rosh Chodesh, and we stop blowing the Erev Rosh Chodesh. And we only blow during Shacharis. And he has a long, long list of different cities.
One size fits all. It's Ramah, Shulchan Aruch.
Okay, so the Ramah is telling you, you know, the Ramah is under attack. The Ramah, what did the Ramah do? The Mechaber only wrote for the Sfaradim. The Mechaber, he only wrote Minhagim for Sfaradim. So the complaint was, it's not fair, what about Ashkenazim? So the Ramah wrote for the Ashkenazim. But the Ramah was also under attack that you only wrote for the Minig of Ashkenazim in Poland. Krakow. There are Ashkenazim all over the world. And there are Ashkenazim all over the world that have their own minhagim. The Ramah, that's why we don't always pass like the Ramah, because the Ramah, when he wrote for Minig Ashkenaz, he's writing, yeah, your Minig Ashkenaz. The Ashkenaz is just not one size fits all. There are many versions of Ashkenaz in all different parts of the world. So in the Ramah, he writes that what we do today is we follow the Ramah. Because he dominated, because since he wrote his Chibur on the Shulchan Aruch, that's why it was popular. But you study all the different cities, all different minhagim. Some already blew on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The first day Elul. And they blew all the way to the very, very end. Some, they stopped 3 days in advance. Some cities, they blew Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv. Some, they only blew Shacharis and Mincha. Some Shacharis and Ma'ariv. What do you blow? Some only blew a tekiah to, that's it. Some blew a like what we do, tekiah, shorim to a tekiah, and some did a whole set. They blew tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah. They blew a whole set, not just a tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah. They blew the whole thing. And then what do you do by mincha? So there's a very, very rich smorgasbord of minhagim, exactly what, exactly how and when
to blow shofar during this time. Why are there so many different? Again, get a little of this. This is the best minhag. I like this minhag the best. Is they only blew shofar on Rosh Chodesh. That was it. You don't blow shofar the whole month. The only this minhag to blow shofar Chodesh Elul means Rosh Chodesh Elul. Who told you every single day you should blow shofar? Day 3, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5. Excuse me. You blow shofar once. You blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah and that's it. So when you have a minhag to blow shofar Elul every day, give me a headache every day to blow shofar. You blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Elul, you blow shofar. Who told you to blow shofar every single day? And then to blow Shachris Mincha Marif, Shachris Mincha, and to blow Tekiah, Shvarim through Tekiah, Tekiah, Shvarim Tekiah, Tekiah, Shvarim through Tekiah. Who told you to blow all these kailites? What's going on over here? You blow a Tekiah on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and that's the end.
You risk overexposure.
Rachel says you risk overexposure. So if you were to go and to study the minhagim of all of the little towns in the Ukraine / Poland and in Russia and across Europe, the cities were more established in Europe. But not necessarily. Okay, may go back earlier in time. You will be shocked to learn a very rich array of minhagim as to how to blow, when to blow, v'chulu v'chulu. Where does all of these minhagim, where do they come from? Well, now as we're going backwards, we'll clarify what's the reason we're blowing shofar. Please clarify. Now, before you, let's even go a step backwards. Let's also discuss some more halachas about blowing shofar. Are women mechuyev in hearing the shofar during Elul? Okay, did you ever hear? Now, are women chayev in blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Absolutely not. They have absolutely no obligation to hear the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. There is nothing to discuss. It is the mitzvah aseh shehazman grama, according to every single opinion. You're not going to find one opinion in the world that are going to have a hakira in what is the meaning of talking about Kiddush Levana. It's Kiddush Levana zman grama. So you'll find in the Sfarim hakiras that what does it mean zman grama? The moon is not grama. The moon, it's a matter of reality. That's not called Zman Grama. You go, you can darshan forever and ever. What's the definition of Zman Grama? But blowing the shofar, there is no disagreement. It's a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. Everyone across the board, b'liyotz v'naklal, are of the opinion that women are exempt. Yet, the minig is, women will give up their lives to hear shofar. Okay, women have accepted upon themselves an obligation to hear the blowing of the shofar. That's the way it is. Why? Amos Hadin. It's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Hadin. There's something about Rosh Hashanah that's very spooky. It represents tefillah, prayer, Noshim Archaiv to Davin. There's something about shofar that's unique, that's not our topic of discussion, but generally, according to the letter of the law, women are exempt, yet women have accepted upon themselves to hear the blowing of shofar of Rosh Hashanah. So my question to you is, what about the blowing of shofar during Chodesh Elul? You have never, ever heard a woman be makbid to hear the shofar during Elul. Look, there are women who come to shul, there are women who daven, who come to shul to daven, no question about it, during the weekday. Okay, depends where you live, depends the society that you live in. Some women say Kaddish, okay, during Avelos. Okay, that's not none of my business. But have you ever heard your whole life a woman makbid to hear a shofar during Chodesh Elul, that in case she did not go to daven, a woman, one of those women who happens to go to daven every single day in a shul, she didn't go to daven that day, she's makbid to have someone come to the house and blow shofar for her, or she blows shofar herself? Have you ever heard of such a thing? Never. You've never heard. Why not? Once they're makbid to hear shofar in Rosh Hashanah, so how come they're not makbid to hear shofar during Elul? Okay, obviously it's only a minug. It's a minug. So this they were not makabel. They were not makabel.
Okay. I heard of it, Rabbi.
A woman.
My mother, Shalom, lived right next door to a shul.
Yeah.
And every morning it was warm. The windows were open. She used to hear shofar. Whether she wanted to or not.
And what happens if she missed a day? Was she makabel to go to?
She asked me to blow for her.
Really? In case she missed the day, she issued a blow? Wow, okay. I take it back. I am mistaken. It's a chiddush, okay? So, but generally you don't hear such a thing. Why not? Okay, obviously, because the minute. Okay, let's ask a few more issues. Here's a very beautiful chakirin blowing shofar during Chodesh Elul. Is it a din on the tzibur, or is it a din on the yachid? In other words, what happens if you daven b'yachidus? If you daven b'yachidus, you don't wake up late, whatever the story is, you're not feeling well, or today, Corona season. Okay, today the Atzal has issued an advisory that there is an uptick in, I never heard of that word before, an uptick, new word for me, new to my vocabulary. I've heard this word for the last 3 months, I've heard this word. I mean, I'm saying, everyone knows the word quarantine, everyone knows the word, all these other, but we never use it in our language. Now, unfortunately, it's part of our language. But the word uptick, I have to confess, I never heard that word before. An uptick in the number of cases of corona, and they've issued an advisory, and people are getting scared. People are ready, I've noticed already, people are already going backwards. They're becoming much more cautious than they were before. Okay, I've noticed in my own eyes, it's frightening. It's very sad. It's not just frightening. It's very sad. People who thought they were out of the woods, and I see now they're going back. They're pushing back. They're scared. They're much more cautious than they were. They were a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I've noticed it on Shabbos, this past Shabbos. I've noticed the behavior of certain people who were very free. They've suddenly become much more cautious. It's very frightening. So people are not going to shul. They're not going to shul. If you're davening b'yachidus, are you obligated to hear shofar? Perhaps we can suggest that the obligation to blow shofar during Chodesh Elul is only when you have a minyan. Chovas tzibur. But if you don't have a minyan, then you have no obligation. Or maybe not. Maybe every individual who knows how to blow shofar, if he does not go to shul, he has to, part of the minhag is you must blow shofar yourself. Another question. Let's say, okay, pun intended, you blow it. You overcome, the guy blows a tequila, he blows a tequila that doesn't sound good. And if this was Rosh Hashanah, the rabbi would never, ever let him get away with this. Right? The rabbi in Rosh Hashanah would say, blow that again. But here it's Chodesh Elul. Everyone's 1 foot out the door. They're running to work. And you blow a tekiah. Good enough. He doesn't blow it again. We're not makbid. Why not? If the minhag is to blow a tekiah, how come you don't blow? You do it right. If you're blowing a tekiah, blow the tekiah the way it should be sounded. Once you do something, do it right. Yet there's no such thing. You get one chance and that's it. Okay? I've never seen someone do it again. Never. They blow the tekiah shvarim to a tekiah, and even if clearly, according to halacha, it's not a kosher tekiah, they never repeat it. Unless it's so botched up, you can't even call it a tequila, right? Unless they really, really, it's a joke. But if they get a sound out of that shofar, and even though, there's a problem, I've never, ever seen it be repeated. I'm Chaim Berlin all the years, and a very, Baruch Hashem, a very nice crowd there for Chodesh Elul, very choshev, a big crowd, and the Baal Tekeah, you know, he's been blowing Baruch Hashem, the person who blows Elul, he's been blowing ever since I've been there, the same person, and he used to be better. He was younger. He used to do a perfect job. The last couple of years, you know, he doesn't always get it out so good. Never repeats it. Never. They're not always kosher tekiyas. And in every shul it's like that. We're not makbid. Why not? Why are we not makbid? Okay, what other issues are there in Shofar when we get into the halacha? The reasons. I think I got most of the reasons, all the different nafkminas lahalacha. Okay, another question. Another interesting question. Do you stand or sit when you hear the blowing of the shofar? So the minig is to stand. Would you believe that there's a hakpad? If you're sitting when they're up to blowing shofar and you're a healthy individual who has no problem standing, you're supposed to stand. You're supposed to stand up to hear the shofar. You're supposed to stop what you are doing to listen to the shofar. Stand. What about a child? Do you allow a child to blow the shofar during Chodesh Elul? So on Rosh Hashanah, you're not Yotze. On Rosh Hashanah, you must be an adult. Chodesh Elul, guess what? The minig is that if you don't have an adult, a child can do it. It's fine. You don't have to go have it done later, done over again. A child, even a child, b'diavad, can blow the shofar during Chodesh Elul. Okay, we see over here so many unique halachas in the blowing. You think such a simple thing to blow the shofar. Such a simple thing to blow the shofar, but yet it's not. There's so many different things. What are you supposed to be doing when they blow the shofar? You're supposed to be maharher b'shuva, it says. When during, even the Chodesh Elul, when they blow the shofar, you're supposed to stop. Another interesting shaila. Let us say you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. You're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, and they're up to blowing shofar. You came late to shul. Should you stop and listen to the shofar? Now, if they were up to Kedusha, if they were up to Baruch Hu, or Yehi Shmei Rabbah, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to stop in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei and listen. And listen. Listen to Baruch Hu. Don't open your mouth, that'll be a hefsik. But you're supposed to listen. You're supposed to listen to the Kedusha, and when the Kedusha is over, then you proceed. What happens if you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and they're up to Kedusha Shofar? Are you supposed to stop and listen? Now, today we're so weak-minded, you probably don't have a choice. You're gonna end up stopping and listening. So I know practically, and I'm telling you, it doesn't make a difference, because the reality is, if you middle Shmoneh Esrei and you hear the shofar, you're going to stop and you're going to listen to the shofar, because that's the way our minds are today. It's just mush. But me'ikar hadin, if you're middle Shmoneh Esrei and the blowing shofar during Elul, you're not supposed to stop. It's not choshev enough that you have a right to stop your silent Shmoneh, to pause. We're not talking about dibur, to pause. If you're in the middle of communicating with Hashem in your private Shmoneh Esrei, you do not stop. You keep on going. You do not pause to listen to the shofar. That's the halacha. What about another halacha? What about if you are in the middle of Kriya Shema and the shul is up to blowing shofar? And like you know, in many shuls it comes to aliyos, they call out, Kohen, is there a Kohen in the house? Levi, is there a Levi in the house? So they call out, is there anyone here who knows how to blow shofar? We have a sterilized shofar. The shofar was sterilized by the CDC themselves. Okay, the CDC has sterilized our shofar. Anyone here want to blow the shofar? And you happen to be in the middle of Kriya Shema. Are you allowed to raise your, yes, I'll blow for you? Is it called a hefsik to blow? The answer is it's mutar. You are allowed in the middle of Kriya Shema Ben HaPrakim to stop and to put the shofar in your mouth and to blow the shofar for the tzibur who needs it at this moment in time, because blowing is not considered dibur. Isn't it incredible? It's not considered to be an articulation of words that constitute a hefsek. It's mutter.
Rabbi, how about the shayla that the shul has two minyanim? You came in by the end of the earlier minyan, you heard shofar, and you want to go out before your minyan blows shofar. Is that okay?
Technically, yes. L'chatchila, no. You're asking a question. When is the next? Yes, another very good question. Which I could you mention this? I've got to mention this. When exactly do you blow the shofar? Do you blow the shofar after the davening is completely over, after you finish Kaddish Yosem, the last Kaddish Yosem, and then they blow shofar? That's the way we used to do it for all the years. Even in Chaim Berlin, that's how they did it. Chaim Berlin, when I met all the years, they used to do that. They finished davening. They say the Yoim, Aleinu, the Yoim, Ledavid, Kaddish Yosem. Dami Ron bi Olamavi, Oseh Shalom bi Memavi, Yaseh Shalom bi Alkoy Shalom Vimru, Amen. And then they blow shofar. That's how we always, in every shul, we did it like that. When out all the years, always did this. Every, don't tell me otherwise. That's how we always did. Chadoshim la bikarim, rabbe munasecha. The last couple of years, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, everyone wakes up and they decide, no, we're not doing it right. We're not doing it right. You're supposed to blow the shofar before you say L'David. And even Chaim Berlin, I remember that year, there was a person there that I don't want to say the words, but he drove the Rosh HaYeshiva crazy. That we're doing it wrong! We're doing it wrong! Your Rebbe, Rav Chutner, he didn't know what he was doing. That's what he was telling him. Over here, Chaim Berlin, how long is the yeshiva, the minion in the basement? How long? I don't know how many years going on already from our Funda's time. 60, 70
long
years.
Time, a long time.
Long time.
Going on a long time.
Long time. So there's no doubt in my mind that when Rav Chutner was alive, and I never saw Rav Chutner my whole life. I never saw him. But I have no doubt that the yeshiva from wherever they were located, whether it was in East New York, or whether it was in Brownsville, or whether it was Far Rockaway, whatever they were, they said the Amira, they said Shalom Bim Raimav, we are Shalom Levakoy Shalom Vimru Amen, and then they blow shofar. I remember Klor for years, they blow shofar. I liked it. That was so nice, so simple, so simple. That was the way I grew up, and not only that, that's the way I did it in Chaim Berlin, that's how they did it in the Young Israel. That's how they did it in the Shtibel. That's how they did it in every single shul. And I challenge you to prove me wrong. All of a sudden now, we became Chachamim. Chacham, this fellow, I remember, he drove the Yeshiva crazy. And I told him that you're doing it wrong. You don't know what you're doing. That's not the way you blow shofar. You blow shofar before you say L'David. L'David. That's when you blow the shots, he finishes off the yoim. You finish off the yoim. And after he finishes the yoim, the Baal Tokeah blows tekiya, shvarim trua tekiya. And after you finish the tekiya, L'David, Hashem Ori, v'yishi, mimi ira, Hashem oschaya, you say L'David. And that's what they started doing in Chaim Berlin probably about 10 years ago. They changed the minog about 10 years ago, and not only did they change the minog there in Chaim Berlin, they changed the minog like that in many shuls that I daven in, that I frequent. That's how they do it. Everyone has this, they want to end off the blow of the shofar with the oilam erupting like a volcano. L'David Hashem Ori V'yishi. Okay, anyone want to comment what you do in your shul? What do they do in Pozna? Mayor, what are you doing in Pozna? What's the minig there? You say L'dav, when do you blow shofar? Probably all the shuls now, they do it like this. They say...
And my rabbi shul, we blow after everything.
At the very end.
The very end.
Baruch Hashem. That's the way I remember it.
Did it for 40 years like that.
And Chaim Belinda also did it for 40 years like that.
Why are they saying with Dov Hashem and Chaim Belinda? The Gro didn't say the Dov Hashem Oiri.
You're right. The Gro did not hold the Dov. You're 100% correct. This is a very big misnomer. Chaim Belinda is not min haGro. Anyone that says a Chaim Belinda is min haGro does not know what they're talking about. Chaim Belinda.
Nothing
min haGro. Who says the Minig HaGro? Anyone that says Chaim is Minig HaGro does not know the aleph beis of Minig HaGro. Chaim Blin have a handful of selected minhagim, which happen to be like the Minig HaGro. Happen to be. Why? 90% of those things are what they did in Slobodka. And being that Rav Huttner, who established the minhagim of the yeshiva, he was a product of Slobodka. He just did what he was used to. Simple as that. He came from Slobodka, whatever they did in Slobodka. That's what they did over here. You want to ask a kasha in Slobodka? So go to Slobodka and figure out what they did in Slobodka. Slobodka, I don't know. It's not clear what their minhagim were there for. This very selected. It's nothing to do with minhagim. And I always tell people, if you would take out the Maiseraf, and you would follow every single thing that the Gro did, I guarantee you they would say that you're Reform or conservative. You'd say it's a different religion. Guarantee you. Go through the Maiseraf and follow every single minute. And they'll say, what are you, a new religion? You've created a new religion over here. Don't. The Minagra, the Gra, the Goyin Mivilna was the Goy. There's no one like the Vilna Goyin. Don't start up with the Vilna Goyin. There's no one like him. I mean, it's just not to fathom who the Vilna Goyin was. It's just mind-boggling how he was able, you know, like a cryptologist. Not normal. Mamish, the Gra did what the Gra did. Okay, that's not for the Hamoinam. He had certain unique minhagim. Look, Rav Yosheber Soloveitchik from Boston, he had some very, very strange minhagim. I mean, not halacha. Okay, his nusach and his tekiyos and the seder hatzfila. This is not mainstream. You do what he did in your shul. You're not going to have much of a minion left over at the end of the day. If you take the minhagim of Yosheber Soloveitchik into your shul, you know, to each his own. Okay, but you're saying very good. You're saying that in your shul, but your rebbe, that's what they did at the very, very end. We all remember as children, that's the way we did it. It's a glot. You finish davening, you say aleinu, the yoim. L'David, Kaddish Yosoim, and then they blow shofar. And then it's quiet. Kol d'mamadaka, davening is over. It's somehow in my mind, it's very settling. It's very like a lullaby almost. Oh my gosh, look who's here. Rabbi Mayevsky has entered the ulam. We have now three people. Make a shachianu, v'kiimanu, v'gionu, azman hazeh. Three people. Echut ha-meshulosh, loy be-beheri yinotik. It must be a good simon that Corona is gone. Rabbi Mayevsky is here. Mr. Elman is here. And Mike Miller is here. And Michal Miller. We have three people who are present in the flesh in the Beis Medrash. The chut ha-meshulosh, loy be-beheri yinotik. So that's a good simon. It's a good simon that Rabbi Yisai, it must be that Corona is on its way out. It's going goodbye. Good riddance. Okay, so we have all these different minhagim over here. So where are we going back over here? That's how I remember it as a child. It's very, very appealing to me. And this eruption of like a volcano, Chaim Belinda's like a volcano erupts. They blow the shofar. And then you hear a loud roar, L'David Hashem Oiri V'Yishri Mimi Iwa. Now it's very nice. No, it's very nice to hear L'David Hashem Oiri V'Yishri. It's very nice. But you know what's even nicer? Silence. It's a much bigger kunz It's a much bigger kunst to call the mama daka than l'david. Okay, this is the way of the world. And this has spread to all of the corners of the earth. This minog, maybe it's right. I'm not coming to say what's right. I'm just telling you, there is such diversity in the blowing of the shofar. We've gone through over here maybe 20 different examples. 20 different examples of when to blow, how to blow, who can blow, should you be standing, all of the different issues of blowing the shofar. Why is there so much diversity in the blowing of the shofar? Why can't Klal Yisrael get their act together and just accept upon themselves one simple minug for blowing the shofar? Everyone should do the same thing. So the answer is because there are many, many reasons why we blow shofar during Chodesh Elul. Just like the Avsad Yegoin says, there are 10 reasons why we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. There are 10 different reasons why we blow on Rosh Hashanah. There are many reasons as to why we blow shofar during Chodesh Elul. And each kehila obviously feels that one particular reason is the ikar, and that sets the tone as to why they have their customs. So let's go through some of the main reasons. One of the main reasons, which is very appealing to me, is it's because on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim for the last time to receive the Luchos Shniyos. We all know the process of what happened during the 120 days, Moshe Rabbeinu, he first got the Luchos, he spent 40 days in Shemayim learning what it says in the Luchos Rishonos. He comes down, he shatters the Luchos because of the Chet HaEgel. He goes up for another 40 days to ask Hashem Mechila. Does he get Mechila? Well, not really, not necessarily, but Hashem says at least there's a stay. Interesting. After 40 days, Hashem did not grant Mechila. After 40 days, Hashem just says, you know what? I won't destroy them. Let's wait and see. The accomplishment of 40 days of tefillah was what? No Mechila. A stay on the punishment. Then what happens? Another 40 days. He comes down with the Luchos Shniyos, and together with the Luchos Shniyos on Yom Kippur, Hashem grants Mechila. So it was a package deal. The Luchos Shniyos was accompanied by Mechilas Avonos. It's a very important insight. Now when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the last 40 days to receive the Luchos Shniyos, when was that? That was Rosh Chodesh Elul, the second day of Rosh Chodesh. Not the first day of Rosh Chodesh. The second day of Rosh Chodesh. Aleph Elul, not Lamed Av. What's the problem? What happened? There's a very great danger. Moshe says, I'll see you guys in 40 days from now. What's going to prevent them from making an Egel again in 40 days? If Moshe comes late a second time, who knows? The Yetzer Hara will persuade them to make an Egel a second time. Just like when they thought he came late the first time, Ki boishesh Moshe l'redes min ahar, they made an Egel. What's going to prevent them from making an Egel a second time in the next 40 days? So, you know what they did? They blew the shofar. They blew the shofar. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim the second time, they blew the shofar to tell the people, watch out. Don't repeat your mistake. What's the difference between a fool and a wise man? The only difference between them is if they repeat their mistakes. The wise men will make exactly the same mistakes as a fool. In tzaddik bo'oretz asher yaseh toiv lo yecheta. A wise man makes the same foolish mistakes as the idiot. No difference. The only difference is, once a wise man makes a mistake and he has the experience of what it means to make a mistake, does he repeat the mistake? They blew the shofar as a reminder, don't be fools. Don't repeat your mistake. Now here's a very interesting question. From Chazal it's mashma that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim, the last 40 days, the pasuk says, Ola Elokim Bisruah. We say that pasuk on Rosh Hashanah, but that pasuk really is not Rosh Hashanah. That pasuk, Ola Elokim, Moshe went up to Elokim Bisruah with the sound of a trua, sound of the shofar, on Rosh Chodesh Elul. We have borrowed that, stolen that pasuk and applied it to Rosh Hashanah, and we use that pasuk in the Nusach at Elokim Bisruah, but really that pasuk technically happened when? On Rosh Chodesh Elul. If we were living in the time of the desert, it's very likely from what appears, they only blew shofar once on Rosh Chodesh Elul. As a reminder, don't make an egel if Moshe comes late after 40 days. They did not blow the shofar every single day and count Sfira. Today is one day since Moshe went, today is 2 days. There was no blowing of the shofar all 40 days. The Pashtus says they only blew shofar on Rosh Chodesh. As a reminder, don't make the same mistake when Moshe comes down. V'zehu. And that's the end. If that's the reason why we blow shofar, then how many times should we blow shofar? Once. When? On Rosh Chodesh Elul. And that's it. And that explains the minug of those who used to blow shofar once. Finished. You blow shofar Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's a zecher for Moshe Rabbeinu going to Shemayim Olukim Yeshua. There's a very powerful limud hamusar. Don't repeat your mistakes. Isn't that what Elul is all about? Elul is you're coming now to Rosh Hashanah to do teshuvah, and don't be a tippish. Don't repeat the same mistakes. Don't be like a person that eats his vomit, goes back like a dog that goes and eats what comes out of it, regurgitates. Don't do that. That's the message of Elul. And that's what Klal Yisrael did. You blow once and you're finished. That's one reason. But there are other reasons why we blow shofar. And the other reason is basically, it's like basically a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. It's do teshuvah. Wake up. The time has come. You should do teshuvah. If that's the reason, so blow every single day. You want to get a headache? Good for you. Blow every single day. You can blow a tekiah sharam trua, tekiah shvarim tekiah, tekiah trua tekiah. If the purpose is to do teshuva, the more teshuva, the better. You can blow erev Rosh Hashanah also. You want to blow on Rosh Chodesh the first day, the 30th day of Av. If the Iker Tam has nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu going to Shemayim, we don't want to make that distinction. We just want to focus on the shofar is a tool of arousal to do teshuva, the more teshuva, the better. Okay, you want to say, but you don't want to get used to it. It's dangerous to get used to. Okay, so we stop the last day. You want to say, you don't want to get used to it? If the Iker Tam is you don't want to get used to it, then really you should stop 3 days in advance. Because you really want it to be fresh when you blow on Rosh Hashanah. 1 day is not enough. 1 day is definitely not enough. You have to stop 3 days in advance. On the other hand, you never get used to it. What? You're telling me that when it comes Rosh Hashanah, it's not going to frighten you? It's not true. So you can blow to the very end. Unless there's another time. Kedei la'arvev ha-satan. You want to confuse the satan. Because you stop blowing. And now they stop blowing shofar. There's nothing more to worry about. So you only need 1 day. Kedei la'arvev ha-satan, you only need 1 day. That's all you need. So is that the ikur? Are we mikubalim? Are we today on the madrega big mikubalim that we have a right to talk about these principles of kedei la'arvev ha-satan? Many will say, listen, Kabbalah is very nice. It remains in the book. It does not become practical in halacha. Because we're not on a madrega to impose in Yoni Kabbalah on the Tzibur. So it's a nice kedela arvev hasatan when the Baal Tokeh, he blows the shofar, he's a makubal, he has kavanas, he does certain things, good for him. But for the tzibur to stop blowing shofar, mishum arvev hasatan, we're not from this school of thought of playing around with the satan. We don't even know what that means. So either we're going to blow to the very end, or if we're afraid that we are getting accustomed to it, then we're going to stop 3 days in advance. Okay. Then there are other reasons. Okay. What other reason would we, now also nashim, women, very important. Women, this is a very big nafkamina. If the whole time is because of the cheto egel, ola elukim bisrua, the women did not participate in the egel. They did not give their jewelry for the egel. They do not need to be reminded on Rosh Chodesh Adar, Allah Elohim Bishua, don't repeat your mistakes. The women were laughing at the men. We told you so. Don't do this. The women do not need to repeat. They don't have to worry about this because they were not. So then they don't need. Now some will tell you like a hybrid. A hybrid is that it's kedei not to repeat your mistakes. Right? And even though Ein Achinami and Chazal it's Mashma, they only blew shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, but we blow every day, like we're counting Sefira. Or maybe you'll find a Chazal, I don't know, maybe you'll find a Chazal that says that they talk a blue every single day, like they count every single day, there was a reminder not to repeat their mistakes. So then if that's the whole time, why not? Certainly women have no shaychus in this. Women have absolutely nothing to do with this then. If the only Iker Tam is because of what happened of the Egel, they're totally mufka from this whole meaning altogether. They had no connection to this. But it's because of Teshuvah that women also chayv in Teshuvah. There's also an Inyan that we also discussed the question of a Yachid and a Tzibur. A Yachid is there an obligation for an individual? Well, if it's within Teshuvah, yeah, of course. A Yachid certainly needs to do Teshuvah. But if it's because of the Egel, the egel is a din on the tzibur. The egel, the ability to make an egel, you need a tzibur to make an egel. You can't go make an egel as an individual. So then the obligation to blow shofar as a zecher for the egel will only be chal on a tzibur. If you're a private individual, you're at home and you daven b'yechidus and you have a shofar in your drawer, guess what? Don't even bother taking it out. There's no purpose. You want to make noise? Annoy the neighbors? For what? What do you need to blow the shofar for? The only reason why you're blowing the shofar is because a reminder not to make the egel again, that's a din in the tzibur, not a din in the yachid. Okay, so you have there are even more reasons which I'm not, could be I'm leaving out some of the reasons. Let me look quickly over here if I left out something in my notes. Okay, we mentioned also, I mean, what are we blowing exactly? You're blowing a tekiah, shram to a tekiah. Some want to say that it's basically practice. Another time, a different time. None of the above. It's not the egel. It's not teshuvah. It's just practice. Practice. Let's get in the spirit of the high holy days. Let's gear up. Let's get into the mode. If you're gearing up, you're practicing, it wouldn't be a bad idea to blow a tekiah shvarim through a tekiah, shvarim through a tekiah shvarim tekiah, and a tekiah through a tekiah. If we're gearing up, let's, you know, a full dress rehearsal. Okay, don't come in your casual clothing for the dress. It's a dress rehearsal. You should do it the way you're going to do it on Rosh Hashanah. If it's just practice to get ready for the Yom Ram. Is it practice? If it's practice, then really it becomes very, very lenient. Or maybe not. If it's practice, you have to go do all of the combinations in order to gear up. These are all different issues, and obviously every single kehila. Now also, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch, it's not even mentioned. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch you're supposed to blow shofar in Chodesh Elul. And in Seder Olam, which a lot of these things come from, it doesn't mention it there altogether. It's a new thing. It's a new minhag. Where does the minhag come? Some want to say also that the blowing of the shofar, you know, another time blowing of the shofar, gave already like four or five reasons. Another time is it's an outgrowth of slichos. When you say slichos and you say the yud gimel midos sorachamim, you blow shofar. Because the Beis HaMikdash, that's part of the technique of saying slichos. When you say slichos, you blow shofar. So the blowing of the shofar is not for Rosh Hashanah. It's not practice. It's not to arouse you to do teshuva. It's not a zecher for the egel. It's just part of the nusach of slichos. Now, whatever you'll tell me why you, I don't know why you blow during slichos, figure that out. But whatever the reason you blow shofar during slichos, that's why we blow shofar during Chodesh Elul. But that only makes sense for the Sfardim, but not for the Ashkenazim who don't say slichos. Unless you say is that the Ashkenazim, they took the short version of slichos. And the short version of slichos is, let the shofar say the slichos for you. Okay, so it's an outgrowth of slichos. Okay, so all of these things obviously give like four or five different reasons of to review. The egel, an extension of the egel during the whole month, teshuva, practice, an outgrowth of slichos. Anything else I missed out? Okay, those are four reasons, right there. When you focus on one particular reason, obviously you're gonna find yourself doing things with different minhagim that are different than when your friends do in the other town. And that's why we find this enormous degree of diversity in this minhag of how to blow, when to blow. Another thing I found very interesting, this came across this, is that let's say you have a bris milah. When do you blow the shofar when there's a bris milah? Now today, it's a ridiculous question today. There's no difference today. Today, even if you have a bris milah during davening, who cares? You blow the shofar whenever you blow the shofar, right? And then afterwards there's a bris milah. That's because today, to a very large degree, I don't know why, we've taken the bris milah out of the davening. This is a very interesting topic in and of itself. There's no doubt about it that the Chazal meant, it's clear, that Bris Milah was meant to be a chelek of the davening. That's how it's meant to be. That's why you find that they sing the Shir Sayam, and you have a Leinu afterwards, and there are a lot of things about Bris Milah which, clear as day, the original intent of Chazal was, if you have a bris milah, it's a chelik of the davening. There's kedusha, there's moedim, there's a volitzion, there's a bris. Halavai, you could have a bris milah every single day for the davening. You have kriyas haTorah, there's a bris. It's a portion of the davening, and this is clear as day. You can prove this 100 times over. Today, in the modern world that we live in, we have taken bris milah and taken a very sharp knife, pun intended, okay, a very sharp knife, and we have sliced the bris milah out of the davening. We basically said, bris milah, you have nothing to do with davening. The most we can do for you is sometimes we'll have the bris milah in shul after davening. In Lakewood, you know, in Lakewood, it's almost never you have a bris milah. But 90% of the bris milahs in Lakewood are not during davening. In Lakewood, the bris milah takes place, it's almost standard, in the hall. You daven whenever you want to daven, and then the bris milah will take place at 8 o'clock in this hall. And it starts with the bris milah, and then after the bris milah, everyone eats. It's not even part of davening. And if you want to daven, sometimes there's a certain place where they have a shul upstairs, and they're like a land house with a minion factory, and you daven, and after daven, you go downstairs, and downstairs there's the bris milah, and then there is a suda, and Eretz Yisrael, it's also like that, more often than not. And that's wrong. I'm sorry to say, but that appears to be, and this is done, it's not wrong. This is the way it's done, because for practical reasons, it's usually not practical because of the catering, and because of the complexities of logistics, we, you know, say a davin after davin, you have a bris milah. It's clearly not meant to be like that. It's clearly part of the service. So, and that's why when it comes to Purim, there are special halachas. When exactly on Purim during davening do you have the bris milah? Before the laying of the Megillah? Yeah, before the laying of the Megillah. When on Rosh Hashanah do you have bris milah? The moil is supposed to be the one that does mitzitza bepeh. So he should have blood in his mouth when he blows the shofar. It's a mamash chelik of the davening. It's clear as day. So when you blow shofar, the halach is you're supposed to blow the shofar after the bris milah. Okay, why? I don't know. It doesn't explain why. I thought maybe because you shouldn't frighten the kid. It's practical. Don't scare the kid. Don't scare the child with a loud sound. I don't know, but it doesn't say the reason why. But the fact that it says that you're supposed to blow the shofar after the bris milah right away says to me, well, since we know as a fact that it's supposed to take place afterwards, obviously, it's supposed to take place afterwards, that's because bris milah is part of the davening. I want to leave with one last thing, one last observation, and I mean this in a very respectful way. Don't take this wrong. I don't mean to challenge any rabbi, chas v'sholem, or to make litzanis chas v'sholem. This year, because of Corona, during Chodesh Elul, there are many shuls that are very sensitive to the issues that are involved in blowing shofar. Now, the Dvarim Shulam Moed, every shul, I'm sure, is instituted, there's no public shofar anymore. And many shuls, it used to be, on the bima there's a shofar. And if you have multiple minyanim, even one minyan, the shul has a shofar. So after davening, if the regular Baal Tokei is not there, so the shul has a shofar lying around. So a guy who knows how to blow, he picks up and he blows the shofar. How could you pick up the shofar? You don't know who blew the shofar yesterday, or blew the minyan. There might be some germs. You can catch. You know how many diseases there are in the world you can catch by putting that shofar to your mouth? What are you going to do? So if you would go back a year, if you only would go back a year with a camera and go to every shul and watch what people do, you would find some people, they don't even care. They'll pick up a shofar. They won't even wipe it. They won't do nothing. They'll pick up a shul shofar. They don't know. They don't care. Shomer pesoyim Hashem. And then there are people that are a little more smart. They'll pick it up. They'll take a tissue. They'll take some saliva. They'll be yoytze. They'll wipe it a little bit. They'll wash it off a little bit. Some people, maybe they'll even have alcohol. They'll sterilize it. Okay. To each his own. Okay? And some people won't even touch it. I'm talking about a year ago. Today, no one's going to do this anymore. Today, it's over. Right? Today, that's it. Corona, if someone puts something in your mouth, you're not going to go put that shofar in your mouth. Okay? Dvarim pshutim ad ma'od. Now, there's been an advisory from the CDC, / Rabbanim, CDC who are part of the team of the Rabbanim, that when you blow shofar in a shul and it goes into the air, the fumes, your saliva. So if you're going to blow shofar in a shul, you can be killing everyone in the shul by blowing the shofar. I don't mean to make a joke. It's not a joke. It's a serious thing. You don't know who's blowing the shofar. You don't know. I don't really know. I have not done any forensic testing. I don't think anyone has. So it might be a concern. And certainly when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be an issue. 100 koilos. So it's going to be an issue. So there's been an advisory in different shuls. You see people, rabbanim, across the country, sending out emails, instructing their worshippers, their participants, that during Elul, when you blow shofar, to take precautions. And many Rabban have been very creative in the precautions. Some, it's not a joke, some Rabbanim said, put a mask, I'm not joking with you, put a mask on the shofar. It will produce enough of a sound that you might say the min, it's only a minhag to blow shofar. So put a mask, I'm not joking, it sounds like a litzonis, right? Put a mask on the shofar, put a big mask so that the fumes should not spread.
I don't use a mask on the shofar, but I experimented, and the sound is, you wouldn't even know.
Same thing.
The mask doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything.
Doesn't take away the sound. It doesn't take away the sound.
It doesn't, right.
It's right, fine. So it's very good. So you put a mask on the shofar.
It
prevents the fumes from spreading. It prevents the fumes from spreading, and you hear the sound. What's so terrible? What's so terrible? Nothing wrong. If you pay attention, I'm sure on the RCA chat of all the Rabbanim, I'm sure I don't have access to this anymore. I'm sure they're talking about this. Okay, then you'll have Rabbanim. I'll say, take the talus, drape yourself in the whole talus. Okay, nothing wrong. I've seen Rabbanim. I've read, open up the window of the shul and stick the shofar out the window and blow the shofar. Nothing wrong. If it's a sakana, it's a sakana. Chamira sakanta yoiser meisura. You have to know your audience. You have to know your people. You have to deal with the CDC in a responsible way. There's halacha, there are guidelines. I don't know anything. I'm not telling, I'm just telling you what is going on out there in the world.
Well, very
late. I want to just finish up.
The sound?
No, he's saying it doesn't. He's saying it doesn't. Now, one thing I want to tell you, I was talking to someone, I'm finishing up right now, and I was telling him all of these different ideas. So he says to me, he's a very responsible person. He says, absolutely, absolutely. In fact, this person is very, very afraid. He's very mamish from the very people that are very nervous. And he says, I want to tell you one thing. It's a fact that we live amongst babies. In other words, immature people. A lot of people in shul who come to shul are a bunch of babies. They're children, they're teenagers, young adults, and even adults, the babies, the immature. And when they see you put a mask on the shofar, which is a responsible thing to do, and you have elderly people in the shul, you can kill them. It's a responsible thing to do if that's what's the thing to do. But all these little kids in shul, their minds have not yet developed to appreciate the danger, to be sensitive to other people. They don't understand. And they see the shofar with the mask. It's a joke. It's mamash a joke. And they take a picture and they send the WhatsApp. And this one laughs, that one laughs. Open up the window, put the shofar out the window. So because there are people in shul, and you have to know every shul is different, every cannot, when it comes to corona, there's one thing that we've learned. You cannot generalize. Every situation is different. There's a very significant population that doesn't understand. They don't appreciate. And it's a litzanis. So this person who is a Talmud Chacham, he's a rabbi, Kamado Rav, he said, if I was a rabbi, I would just say, you know what? Let's skip it. Chodesh Elul in my shul, we're just not going to blow. It's only a minog to blow. There's a real sakana, I feel he feels, which requires precautions. But if the precautions we are going to make are not going to be appreciated by the Hamoin Am, and in their eyes it's going to turn into a joke, into a litzonus, better let's skip it than be mevazeh the minhag. I would prefer that we just don't do it. It's only a minhag. You don't have to do it. Let's not do it rather than do it and take the correct precautions which will not be appreciated by the Hamoin Am and will turn the minhag into a litzanus. It's not going to be a zichus for Klal Yisrael to blow shofar during Elul, and everyone should be laughing. then not blow shofar at all. Better don't blow the shofar. And he said this to me, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. He's so right. At least what I... You're right. You're right. What, it's a suchus? You're going to blow the shofar? What are you trying to accomplish here? We have all these... What's the goal? What's the end game? The end game is to do teshuva. It's Elul. It's Yimei Hadin. So you blow shofar. And now the shofar, oh, it's a big litzanis. Corona. It's enough that we're killing each other over masks. Everyone is mamish. It's ugly. It's such an ugly, ugly scene that's going on now in every single shul about should you wear a mask, not wear a mask. The CDC says you should wear a mask. You have to listen to the government. But the government has misled us, has fooled us. I'll give you a whole Megillah. I don't have to go give a whole Megillah. It's such... And you want to add to that? You want to now take a mina kodosh and klal Yisrael? Allah Elokim Bisrua. And now we're going to make this into another thing to fight about? Another machlokes? Another litzanis? Enough is enough! Cut your losses so you won't blow shofar. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch you should blow shofar. It doesn't say anywhere. It doesn't say in Seder Olam. Minik halacha doesn't say to blow shofar. It's a nayazach. It's a new thing. So you don't blow shofar. A much bigger schus not to blow shofar than to blow shofar with a mask and have these kids over here laughing their head off and taking WhatsApp pictures and texting and making litzanis and then saying lashon hara and this was a tippish and that one's a tippish and this leads to that and v'chulu v'chulu. Just cut it out. Who needs it? Okay, that's our departing message. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai. Have a wonderful day. All the best to all of you.
Rabbi Levi Shkoyach, in continuation of yesterday's...